snow.
All right.
All right, well, good to be back tonight, and I think I can speak for my brother. We just feel at home, and it doesn't feel that long ago. We sat on the front row and waved our Bibles and said amen, and it's a blessing for us to be back here tonight, and I appreciate your church's investment in our family. Brother Carter, appreciate your investment in my family, and Dr. Lee also. Great part of molding and shaping, and I appreciate that. And I hope that my brother and I and our families will be good stewards of your investment. And we'll look forward to one day sharing some great memories when we get to heaven. But we appreciate tonight, again, the opportunity to open the Word of God. What a great time to live. I was sharing with someone just a few minutes ago that we got front row seats. The entire church age would love to be where we're at tonight. And to be able to see what we're able to see and experience and hear what we're able to hear and see fulfilled prophecy in recent history, as recent as 1948, a major fulfillment of biblical prophecy, that tender branch putting forth leaves, Matthew 24. And when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so we are a very privileged people tonight to see what we're able to see. And the subject, as we look through this, is America under the judgment of God. And Brother Carter and I, just comparing some notes, I listened to his messages on the blood moons and had a great time listening to those and catching up on some of the scuttlebutt that I'm hearing in my church. And preacher, did you hear about the blood moons? And it actually sounded so strange, I just kind of dismissed it as something that you find on one of those strange websites that you can pick up someone's writings. But it is an interesting set of events that are coming up in 2014 and 2015. And this is, again, the signs of the times. It's a time that you and I can look around and see that the nearing of this age is ending. And we're looking forward to that. I'm not going to make a prediction tonight because we cannot. We're just going to give you facts and just preach to you and give you what the Word of God says and maybe compare that with some recent history and let you mold and think about that and maybe use it as a witnessing tool and share others with the information that you're going to receive tonight. We're in Isaiah chapter number 9, and as preacher said, we were here this morning. And what's interesting about this portion of Scripture, as we discussed the concept of a historical reoccurrence, when something happens again, when something in history repeats itself, and it's ominous, it's strange, but it has happened, and history has a strange way of repeating itself. And what we talked about is this concept of, or this event that's coming up, that NASA calls a tetrad. It's four blood moons, consecutive blood moons coinciding with four Jewish holidays. It's starting in just a couple of weeks. The first one is April 15th. And the layout here is in front of you. One after that is on the Shekat, or the Feast of Tabernacles, which would be on the October 8th. And then there's the next one would be the Passover in 2015, the Shekat, and in the fall of 2015. But what's interesting about this tetrad, I think you got a ring here, brother, and maybe you need to step out to hear this ring, and I'm hearing it a little bit, and I don't know if I need to turn this down or move this down, but just let me know, give me the instructions, and I'll follow you, man. All right. So if you could pull that ring out, that'd be great. You have something interesting about these. Now, a tetrad is nothing new. There was one back in 2004 and 2005. But the ones that are interesting is the ones that coincide with Jewish holidays. And that has only happened since the time of Christ seven times. And two of those seven times happened just as recently as 1948 and then in 1967, coinciding with something significant that has happened with Israel. Study the history, get Brother Carter's lessons on that, and you can actually research this and get some information to show the facts there. But what's coming up is interesting because it's not going to repeat in this century. And so these blood moons that are on their way are not going to have a repeat. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God created the lights and the firmament for signs. And so we know Matthew 24, Luke 21 also teaches that there'll be signs. There'll be things that you can discern and look and know that summer is nigh, as we already discussed. But here's the question. As you look at these events coming up, you have two lunar eclipses that are coming into this tetrad. One is on the 29th of Adar, or Nisan 1. And then the next one is Rosh Hashanah, which would be the first of Tishrei. Now, as you look at those, there's something interesting. I want to focus right on that day right there. And that's why I wanted to compare these notes. We still have a ring. And if maybe it's this is off, so we're good. We'll figure it out. These guys are on board here. Okay, Israel and America, as we said this morning. The only two nations, well, let's do this. Let's pray. Maybe they get that fixed while we pray. We'll ask the Lord to help them, all right? Give some wisdom to those guys that I would not want their jobs. I would not in this church. Not in this church, man. No way. That's what I'm telling you. That's a dangerous place to be. And don't volunteer for that. There's men that have never been seen again that work there. They're unmarked graves in the back of the church. And pray for them. All right, let's ask the Lord's grace tonight. Father, we thank you for the regathering of your people tonight at church. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have the freedom to get here tonight, be able to open our Bibles. And thank you for the times that we live in tonight. We're excited as your people, and we're living in a very interesting time, perilous times, dangerous times, but times that are exciting, times that, Lord, as your people, we look to be raptured out. We look for that coming Lord, to call us out of here, that church. I pray your blessings, Lord, tonight as we rejoice, as we, Lord, look for opportunities to witness to the world that we live in today and share with them what the Bible says about this event, the rapture of the church. Bless, Lord. Give grace to us tonight. And, Lord, be with me tonight. Help me clarify my mind. Help me, Lord, as I move through these facts and the scripture tonight. I pray you help us tonight to receive what you'll have for us to receive. And I pray that you would receive glory and honor. I pray that, God, tonight we would leave here a changed and challenged people to be more like our Savior. And so bless, Lord, these that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the challenges you'll find if you look through the scripture and is up or down. Up, you got it, my brother. Thank you, Brother Cruz. The challenge is trying to find America in scripture. Now, you'll find Libya. You'll find Egypt, you'll find Jordan, you'll find Persia or present-day Iran, you'll find Russia, you'll find even the King of the East, but you can't find America. America, from all points of examination looking at the scripture, she does not biblically exist in end-time events. And so then the question comes, as we said this morning, a such a dominant part of not only the economies of the world, but a military might that we have today, and all the influence that we have, the English-speaking people, the English language is used all over this globe. What happens to her? Where does she go? If she's such a part of our society and woven in every nation in the world, and yet she's silenced. There's nothing that says anything about America in the Bible. And so the question is, where is she? What happened to her? And the question is, America already under the judgment of God? Now, it's two interesting facts here is that God allowed us to see through the scriptures that his nation, Israel, started as a covenant nation with God. The only other nation in human history that has started with God is America. Our founding fathers referenced and understood and desired to please providence or God. You'll find many references to God in the Constitution, in our historical documents that we reference that are outside of the Constitution of America. And so, understanding that, America and Israel share a very unique, let me see if I can get back to this, and I'm learning this too, preacher. All right, that the only two nations in history that start with God are Israel and America. Of course, America started as a nation founded on biblical principles. Now, a couple of things that we discussed this morning, preacher asked me to put a rewind button just on the last part of this morning's lesson, is a historical reoccurrence, something that happens over again without even knowing it, something that can take place without the leader of a nation knowing what they're doing. Exodus chapter 32 is referenced when Aaron stood before the people, when the people came to him not knowing where Moses was and wanting to go a different route, so to speak. And Aaron, of course, fashioned a golden calf with a graving tool. My question is, how did he get a graving tool in the wilderness? But he had a graving tool, and he used it to fashion a golden calf. And then all of Israel was then told or made a proclamation from Aaron that these be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Israel, of Egypt. And so a proclamation was made to Israel that no longer was the God that we serve, Jehovah God, that's not the one that brought us up. It's now this God, or a calf god, or the Egyptians' gods. Now, if you look at Exodus 32, you say, man, that's a passage of judgment. That's the provocation. That's where God was going to wax his anger hot against them and destroy that nation outside the intercessory prayer of Moses. And so you would think that would never happen again. There is no way that someone would ever in authority use that portion of Scripture to do something. But it happened again. And you'll find there in the northern kingdom, Jeroboam setting up two temple worship, two different types of worship, calf worship. And he said and made a proclamation that Israel, these be the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now think about this. Can you imagine someone come up to Rehoboam and saying, Rehoboam, listen, I know you mean well, but man, you really blew it today. I mean, just a couple hundred years ago, Moses, he quoted out of that. That's Exodus 32, man. What are you doing? But we have no record that that took place, at least from even the prophets that were there. God sent a young prophet, but he did it. It was a historical reoccurrence. And so why bring that up? Because America shares a very unique position in human history. We started with God. And so when you see how Israel responded to the judgment of God, you could almost lay over top of Isaiah chapter number 9, America. And you'll see why. Isaiah 9, verse number 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Let me go here. And it says, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, this is God lightly afflicting Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Okay, here's God bringing judgment on the northern kingdom. Northern kingdom had every king in the northern kingdom was a bad king. There was not one that did right in the sight of God. And so they finally were getting the final judgment warnings from God through Isaiah. And here's what they did when they saw the Assyrians now coming in and taking Naphtali and Zebulun and annexing them and taking those prisoner that were there. Their response was very interesting. In verse number 9, it says here, and the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria. Now watch what they say. Now watch what, first of all, watch how they respond to the judgment in verse number 1. That say in the pride and stoutness of heart. Now we don't have to go too far to understand that America has been puffed up. America has not in a long time humbled herself. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about God's people and churches humbling themselves and churches having prayer meetings and humbling themselves before a holy God. We have not seen that in a long time in America, much less in the capitals and the state houses where prayer used to be a part of a sincere devotion to an almighty God. We don't see that as we saw before. And so you find here that this response is very interesting because the response first comes from a prideful heart Stoutness of heart, pride of heart. Again, a very interesting reoccurrence is that something took place after they came under this attack. They met in the capital, and you'll find here that Ephraim is mentioned in verse number 9, and all the people, watch this again, shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart. And watch this. They're at the capital in Samaria. Most likely some leader of the northern kingdom begins to make a proclamation to the people. Verse 10 says, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Now this happened, and again, this is the rewind button. I can't fast forward this. I have no way of doing this, but I want you to see what took place on September 12th, 2001 from the Senate floor. Senator Tom Daschle addresses the Senate floor after 9/11. Now, if you can imagine, if you just reverse your mind back there, those that were alive, some of the 14, 13-year-old kids won't remember this, but those that are older than that understand the significance of that time, what took place. Here's what he said. Now, I want you to remember, watch this. As preacher said, Isaiah chapter number 9 is not a passage of scripture that should be used to comfort anyone. Isaiah 9, where we're at here, is a response to a judgment of God. They say in the pride and stoutness of heart. Here's what they're saying. You can do what you want to do to us, but we're going to be bigger. We're going to build. We're going to get better. We're going to come out of this stronger than we were before. Y'all with me on that? And so the response is a response of defiance. A response from the capital. A response from most likely a leader of the northern kingdom. Watch this.
Hearing no objection, before the Senate, Mr. President, your leader. It is with pain, sorrow, anger, and resolve that I stand before this Senate, assembled for 212 years of the strength of our democracy, and say that America will emerge from this tragedy as we have emerged from all adversity, united and strong. The America in which we woke today is far different from the one in which we woke yesterday. This morning, as our rescue workers and medical personnel continue their heroic work, we begin to truly understand the enormity of what happened. My heart aches for the people of New York, our men and women serving at the Pentagon, the passengers and crew of the four hijacked aircraft, and for their families and friends. These attacks were an assault on our people and on our freedom. They aimed at the heart of the American community and the symbols and structures of our economic and military strength. As an American, as an elected representative, I am outraged. As a husband and a father, I am pained beyond words. Last night, we sent a message to the world that even in the face of such cowardly and heinous acts, the doors of democracy will not close. This joint resolution we lay down today condemns yesterday's attacks, expresses our sympathy for the victims, and our support for the President as our Commander-in-Chief. The world should know that the members of both parties, in both houses, stand united in this. The full resources of our government will be brought to bear in aiding the search and rescue, and in hunting down those responsible and those who may have aided or harbored them. Nothing can replace the losses of those that have suffered. I know that there is only the smallest measure
now,
of inspiration that can be.
What he quotes is not out of the King James Bible. Listen to the portion of Scripture.
But there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to all of us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars.
Stop right there so we can move on. Out of all the portions of Scripture Tom Daschle could have chose, why did he choose Isaiah chapter number 9? Out of all the portions of Scripture that Jeroboam could have chose, why would he go to Exodus chapter 32? Again, Israel and America share a very unique beginning. And I believe as God was judging Israel in 736 BC, the same pattern seems to be showing itself here in 2014. So number one, a historical reoccurrence. A nation had pride and stoutness of heart. Historical reoccurrence number two is that a declaration was made from the capital in defiance of that judgment. Number three is interesting because you would think, you know, hey Tom, listen, let me pull you aside. You know, my preacher was telling me, you know, this portion of Scripture is really bad. Don't do that again. And I could imagine him saying, you know, I just threw it in the notes. I couldn't believe I did that. I shouldn't have done it. But watch what happens, how what Tom Daschle says when they'll carry it out, because there was a rebuilding of the towers. Watch what they do. The bricks are fallen down, but, conjunction, we will build them with hewn stones. Bricks. Bricks are something you bake, a piece of clay you bake in the oven. It's not as strong as going and hewing out a rock and rebuilding these now walls or the tower with hewn stones. In other words, we are going to be stronger than we were before. In other words, the mortar and the brick that we used was just not adequate, but I'll tell you what, man, we're going to do it right this time. We are going to go with hewn stone and rebuild it. That was their response. If you look here and remember the images of 9/11, the two towers that were hit by the aircraft, fuel burning on those floors, and of course the collapsing of both towers and the rubble and the aftermath and seeing the ashes and the smoke and the sirens. And you remember those days, all the images and the things that we remember as we go through in our own mind what it looked like when they came down. Remember the dust and the response of us was not a mistake. Because just as the Northern Kingdom responded with this response, we did the same thing. That is a hewn stone out of New York, Adirondack Rock. It was hewn and it was made as a ceremony in 2004. It was the Freedom Tower's first stone, a hewn rock, set there as a symbol of our defiance against the Holy God without them knowing what they were doing, a hewn stone following Tom Daschle's now defiant response from the Senate floor 3 years before that. You say, Pastor, that's just coincidence. They probably didn't know where to go get a stone. And you can look this up and you'll find that this stone is sitting in front of the Freedom Towers tonight. A response. Historical reoccurrence one, nation had pride and stoutness of heart. Historical reoccurrence two is a declaration was made from the Capitol. Historical reoccurrence three is that there was a rebuilding of the towers. The rebuilding of the towers was done with hewn stone. We're going to be bigger. We're going to be better than we were before. Number three is the replanting of the trees. As you remember, the verse 10 says here, we will build with hewn stones. Watch this. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. The Assyrians were vicious. Anyone that has studied anything about Assyrian military tactics, they were vicious. They were intimidators. They would come in. They would slaughter. They would cut down any kind of vegetation. They would intermarry their people. It was just vicious how they would attack. I was in the museum in London here back in October and watching some of the work that was archived out of some of the paintings, and watching how the Assyrians would attack and what they did and their military might in those days. It was a fearful sight to come into battle with the Assyrians. And so when they would come in, they would destroy the trees. And so what Israel's response was, you cut down the sycamore trees, we're going to be stronger. We're going to put cedar trees in its place. The next day after 9/11, they begin to move their equipment in to try to bring out anyone who survived the collapse of the towers. And of course, it was horrific. They came down one of the streets and they found a tree. One of the steel beams from the towers flew across the street and struck a tree. The tree that is struck and split in half, as you see right there, is a sycamore tree. Now, how many would think that, what are the chances of a sycamore tree, first of all, being in downtown New York City? And what are the chances that it would be photographed and shown to be destroyed by a beam striking it right at the root? The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. A couple of years later, September 11th, it was a strange sight. I'll read it. On ground zero, there's a crane lowering an object. That object that was being lowered was an Erez tree, a conifer tree, the same as a cedar of Lebanon. You can study it. It was being lowered in the very place that the sycamore tree was cut down. Here's a picture of it. Freedom Tower behind it. And there's that tree. A cedar tree. Used to have a sycamore tree there. Historical reoccurrence one. A nation that had pride and stoutness of heart. Historical reoccurrence two. A declaration made from the Capitol. The rebuilding of the towers. The replanting of the trees. See, Pastor, listen, that's a little coincidental. I know. You know what's interesting about a coincidence? It's God's way of remaining anonymous. Y'all with me? A coincidence. A coincidence. Here's two. The day after the election, 2008, the day after, some of you may know this. You can look it up. You can actually go and research this. The pick, watch this. You're going to be, you lost it, Pastor. I know I did. Watch this. The pick three. Pick three in Illinois. Pick three was 666. Okay, come on now. We got an Illinois senator, now President Barack Hussein Obama, now as the president. Are y'all with me? The pick three, 666 in Illinois, the next day after the election. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, wait. Pick four. Pick four, ready? 7779. So does God work through lotteries? I don't know. It's strange. Just a coincidence, but it's a way of staying anonymous on this, okay? We got this. Watch. Strange reoccurrences. Remember the 9th of Av? We talked about that this morning. The 9th of Av, the strange things that happened on the 9th of Av. The first destruction of the temple, second destruction of the temple, the expelling of the Jews in Spain, 9th of Av. All the stuff that happened in Nazi Germany, weird stuff that happened on the 9th of Av. Av, one of the Jewish months. It's a month of mourning. I asked my Jewish friend out of Columbus, I said, tell me about the 9th of Av. Here's what he said. Oh, man, that's very bad for us. We Jews mourn on the 9th of Av. We start on the 17th of Tammuz, and we mourn until the 9th of Av. I said, why is that? Because every time something happens, it's usually against Israel on the 9th of Av. I said, you know what? He says, what? I said, the next one happens in August. Really? I said, yes. I think it's August 4th and 5th. Oh, what's so big about that? I said, it's Barack Hussein Obama's birthday. Oh, man. I got to fast twice that day. Just a coincidence. Watch this. Number five. The place of dedication is judged. The place of dedication is judged. You remember before the renting of the kingdom, Jeroboam, of course, in the northern kingdom, Rehoboam in the southern kingdom. Before that, before the renting of that kingdom, God met with Israel in a special way. The temple was built. A phenomenal event took place. Israel gathered. Remember, Israel and America share a very unique beginning. Very unique as we go back in a couple hundred years ago and remember what took place in the forming of our nation. And then I go back to the dedication of the temple, Jerusalem, capital city. Solomon praying to God and being able to dedicate the temple to the Lord. You read that it was dedicated by the king. All of Israel there and united. And when God showed up, you can read this. I don't want to go into this right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. You read what took place and how God showed up and how, man, the sacrifices were being brought and the priests could not carry out their priestly duties because the glory of God was there. The music, the shouts, the glory. Wow, what a beginning. I mean, can you imagine being a kid there? God showing up and knowing, man, this is amazing. You can go back and actually read some of the historical accounts of people looking out of their balcony windows on a very interesting date in our history. A date that takes you back just after the War for Independence. The balcony of the Federal Hall, April 30th, 1789. This picture does not adequately describe what I have read. There's people that have taken photographs of old books written in the 1700s, and you can see them online. One lady writes that there was so much jubilant joy that you can almost cut it with a knife. And I'm paraphrasing. She said, you can walk across the heads of the people. They were all one. It was the inauguration of President George Washington. He came out on the balcony that morning. He presented himself. He was overcome with emotion and had to retire back inside the Federal Hall. It was a beautiful morning. The oath was administered by Robert R. Livingston, Chancellor of New York. Crowd assembled in the streets. President Washington and the members of Congress then retired to the Senate chamber, and Washington delivered his first inaugural address to this very young nation. William Marclay of Pennsylvania observed that even this great Washington trembled when he faced the assembled representatives and senators. It is noted also that when he put his hand on the Bible, that he knelt down and kissed the Bible. For time's sake, I don't read all this, but here's a picture. I'm going to show you something very significant about this in just a little bit. I read this so many times, I almost got it memorized, but I don't want to miss a word. Because what he references here is very interesting in the beginning of our nation. First inaugural address to this new nation. What I have highlighted is the references to the Almighty, to God. Here's what he says. To the Almighty Being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the great people of the United States, a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes, and may enable every instrument employed to its administration, that's the government, to execute with success, watch this, the functions allotted to his charge. He said, this Constitution has been given to us, and as he makes this statement, the functions allotted to his, God's, charge. In tendering this homage to the great author, that's God, to every public and private good, I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than any of my own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large, less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore, watch this, the invisible hand, which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. God did something very special, is what he says. Amen. Since we ought to be no less persuaded that the proportionate smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the, watch this, republican model of government, not a democratic model of government. We're not a democracy. We're a republic.
Amen.
George Washington, republican model of government, are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally stacked, watch this, on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. He says, we have been blessed. God has allowed us to carry out this experiment. This thing has been put together by a providential hand entrusted to us. Now watch this. Having thus imparted to you my sentiments as they have been awakened by the occasion which brings us together, I shall take my present leave. Now look behind him. What he about to say? See that? Second here. Watch this. Right there. Watch this. I shall take my present leave, but not without resorting once more to the benign parent, that's God, of the human race, in humble supplication. So I'm going to go to church. When they left here, I want you to look at this. He says here that His divine blessings may be equally conspicuous in the enlarged views, the temperate consultations, and the wise measures on which the success of this government must depend. He said, we must depend on our God. He says, before I retire, I've got to go pray. That's supplications. Here it is. Watch this right there. The entire government walked two blocks to St. Paul's Chapel, on their knees, dedicating America to God. Now watch this. America and Israel share a unique beginning. We both started with God. Israel's final hold, if you would, was the very place it began. The dedication of the temple was the very last place that God judged her by bringing Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, on the 9th of Av, destroyed the temple. And with that in mind, where did he go? George Washington went to St. Paul's Chapel. That's what it looks like today on the right. You know what? You look back just a few years ago, what it would have looked like. Going back to what it possibly would have looked like at the destruction of the temple, Nebuchadnezzar coming in, burning, pillaging, besieging Jerusalem, and coming in and taking the gold and the bowls and the temple vessels and taking them back to Babylon to be used as sacrilegious instruments to worship other gods, Belshazzar. But what did St. Paul's chapel look like at 9:10? St. Paul's chapel is located at Ground Zero. St. Paul's chapel is the very place that God judged America. The very backyard of St. Paul's chapel touches the property of the Twin Towers. So historical reoccurrence is that the place of dedication is judged. Last one. Listen to this. The country becomes a financial ruin. Look over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. I want to give you a lot in just a few minutes, and you really have to pay attention. Jeremiah 25. I want you to see this right out of the scripture. This is, again, the prophet Jeremiah to the southern kingdom now. He's giving them the final warning of what is going to take place. He says in Jeremiah 25, you can read it all if you want, chapter 25, all the way down from 1, but I'm going to pick it up in verse number 9. Here's what it says. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them, watch this, an astonishment and an hissing. A hissing is a scornful way to communicate something. It's a hiss. Hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth. That's joy. The voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. The sound of the millstone is your industry. That's your food. That's your automobiles. That's things that make stuff. And watch the last phrase. And the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. Now watch this. 70 years. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Let's move through this fast. I want you to see something here. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Again, pronouncement of judgment. It's going to be an astonishment. Desolation. There'll be no one getting married. There'll be no joyful songs. You ever notice in America, I was out there working on my truck out in the bus barn. And enjoyed that. It was fun. But one thing I haven't heard in a long time is the joyful sound of children playing. I heard them in the playground just playing. You don't hear that much anymore. Joy of myrrh, the sound of myrrh, the sound of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the millstone. The light is out. Perpetual desolations. Now watch 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21. Verse 20 says, and then they had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Why? Verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her what? Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbaths to fulfill 70 years or 70 years. Okay, now watch what took place here. I talked to my friend from Columbus. I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I want to know what the Jewish community believes about the Shemitah. Oh, Shemitah. Shemitah is it's a sabbatical year. It's a year that all debts are somewhat canceled. He says, in fact, if you're a creditor on the fifth year, before the seventh year comes, you don't want to lend a lot of money out because you'll not get it back. He says, when you come to the end of Shemitah, the 29th of Elul, The first of Tishrei, he says, is a Rosh. It's a new year, Rosh being head. It's the new year. It's the year that we begin. Things are canceled. Things begin again. Now watch this. What God says here to Israel is that there's going to be a reckoning day. You've not kept the Sabbaths. He says, I'm going to get them back. Now, we're not under that covenant. But God lays in here something very interesting that's happened in the last 14 years. I'm going to show you something that I just discovered a couple of weeks ago. When I talked to my friend, I asked him very specific questions about that day. He says it could be a very bad thing for a creditor because they would lose. But when the creditor loses, everyone loses eventually. You ever hear too big to fail?
Yeah.
Okay. Back just on May 17th, 1792, something took place by 24 stockholders. It was a signing of a document. It was on 68 Wall Street where this is recorded to have happened. It was under a buttonwood tree. The organization, 24 stockholders, drafted a constitution on March 8th. The agreement was made on the 17th of May of 1792. But in 1817, they finally named it. The name of that organization was called the New York Stock and Exchange Board. In 1863, the name was shortened to the modern form of the New York Stock Exchange. How many have an iPhone tonight? Would you raise your hand? An iPhone? All right. Can someone look up for me buttonwood? Not buttonwood agreement, but the word buttonwood. Look it up on your iPhone. That's the first time you're going to be able to text in church. Amen. How many can do that for me? How many can just do that? The word buttonwood. I want you to see it and be able to say it. Someone just raise your hand and say, I got it. Buttonwood. Can someone do it, please? All right. Jay, can you do it? All right, when you do it, just hold on to the thought just for a little bit. All right, first, as you look through this agreement, these stockholders got together, became New York Stock Exchange Board. It was located on 68 Wall Street. Now, this Buttonwood Agreement, the original name for Wall Street, Buttonwood Agreement, or Buttonwood is what, Jay? What's the word Buttonwood would mean? What's that?
You want to know what the word would be?
The word buttonwood. Definition of buttonwood. Buttonwood tree. B-U-T-T-O-N. Wood. W-O-O-D.
I'm sorry. I went to that word high school.
All right. Let me tell you. You're not helping me, Jay. All right. Okay. Word buttonwood. If you look it up.
Sycamore.
Thank you. Who got that? Sycamore.
They had an Android.
They had Android. All right. Watch this. Watch this. It's a sycamore. The American sycamore. The original name for Wall Street is a sycamore. The sycamore tree being struck down was interesting because what took place on 9/11 was a sycamore tree. And a very interesting note, and I'll come to that in just a little bit, is that there has been two major hits on our financial sector in the last 14 years. And what happens in Wall Street happens around the world. If Wall Street opens down tomorrow 5%, you mark it down. When Sydney opens up a few hours later, it will be down about 4 to 5%. What happens in Wall Street will happen eventually to the rest of the world. It is a financial district of the entire world. It was under a Brentonwood Agreement in 1944 when we went to the dollar exchange. We used dollars to give oil and so forth, and that's all been set up. Now watch this. Something took place on the day that the New York Stock Exchange was allowed to open after 9/11. Remember, they had it closed on Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. When Wednesday opened up, It opened up on September 17th, 2001. This is the very day, to the day, that a sabbatical year ends. It's the first of Tishba and the 29th of Elul. It's the 5,761 sabbatical year, counting from the Jewish calendar. Strip away the Western calendar. We're going to the Jewish calendar now. When the market was crashing that day, it went down 7% that day. It happened on the very day that the Jews were showing that this is the Shemitah, this is the day that debts are canceled out. They're watching the stock market crash to 7% that day. The next one was September 29, 2008, to the day, to the very day, the Rosh Hashanah, the very day that began, that beginning of the new year, the ending of the old year, the 29th of Elul, the first of Tishba. Watch this. It was 5,768. The last day of the seventh year, another stock market crash. I got the news article right here, which is fascinating. I had to cut and paste this because you got to see it yourself. Watch how many you find here. New York Stock Exchange stock skidded Monday with the Dow slumping nearly. Watch this, 778 points. Okay, in the biggest single day point loss ever after the House rejected the government's 700. Watch how many times seven comes up. $700 billion bailout, bank bailout plan. The day's losses knocked out the approximately $1.2 trillion in market value. The first post $1 trillion day ever, according to the drop in the Dow Jones Wilshire 5000. Watch this next paragraph. The Dow Jones Industrial Average loss 777. 0.68. If you round the 8 to the 6, you got 7. 7777. Surpassing, watch this, the 684 point loss on September 17th was the last Shemitah. How many are seeing this? The loss was, ironically, 7%. Ha! Pastor, that's just a coincidence. Again, coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. Standard & Poor's 500 lost 8.8%, the worst in its seventh worst day ever. Watch this, 7.7, 700 billion. Are y'all with me on this? Are y'all with me? So what does that have to do with the God judging America? The next one is September 13th, 2015. It's the sabbatical year. 5775, 29th of Elul, the first of Tishrei, which coincides with that day right there. The Rosh Hashanah. Say, Pastor, is anything going to happen that day? I don't know. Probably nothing. But probably something. Oh, by the way, the sycamore tree that was cut down in St. Paul's backyard, St. Paul's church, St. Paul's chapel. So that's just another coincidence. Yeah, it is, but watch what they did. Someone had a bright idea, some artist. Tom Daschle made this proclamation from the Senate floor from Isaiah 9. They carried out to the T the hewn stone. They carried out to the T the cedar tree that went back in the sycamore tree's place. And some guy had a bright idea of taking all that root out of that sycamore tree. It was in that ground. Watch, look, gravestones. This is an old graveyard here. Took that root out. And they made a sculpture. St. Paul's Chapel. And they poured this root with the metal that God uses to show judgment. Brass. They didn't put it back at the chapel. They put it at the end of Wall Street. We had a financial collapse starting on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, 2001. First day of Rosh Hashanah, 2008. And the next one is just a year away, less than a year away. And as you look through all this and put all this together, and by the way, that tree that was cut down, to the day, estimating to the day, was 70 years old. Come on, man. Are y'all here? We got some strange events that have happened just in recent history. We've got these blood moons coming up. We got, interestingly, two lunar eclipses, and that Rosh Hashanah is coming right on the very day. The very day. Now, as God's people, what we need to do, listen, we need to be on our faces. We need to humble ourselves. Amen. I love America. I believe America can have revival. I believe America had revival. But tonight, there'll be no revival unless there's humility. There's a turning from our sin, getting our face before Holy God, taking material like this and sharing it with as many people as you can, because judgment's coming. We're under an indictment. We've taken 52 million unborn babies out of the wombs of mothers from 1972, and we're under an indictment from a holy God. We're endorsing same-sex marriages. We've got filth and perversion that's expanding, and God's people need to come back, as Solomon was praying to the temple, "For my people, which are called by my name, on the dedication of the temple, shall humble themselves and pray. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will heal their land." It's going to come from God's people, amen, knowing that judgment's near. America is not in biblical prophecy. And if we don't start praying out of determination now, we will pray out of desperation later. Desperation later. I don't know how long we have left. I don't know. I don't know if the blood moons that are coming up mean anything. But I know this. Some strange things have happened in the past. And it could